Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chelsea.
Hey, Tom. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. So feel free to open your Bibles, or it should be behind me. All right. So love for enemies. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting full repayment. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Amen. Thank you, Chelsea. I entitled this sermon, Next Level Love. Did my mic go out?
Yeah.
Yeah, something happened. That's okay. Check, one, two. It's on. There's a green light. There we go. Beautiful. So I entitled this sermon, Next Level Love, because I feel like this is talking about something that's a little bit, you know, deeper and harder, and something that we need to be more mature in order to handle. And I'm thinking about this idea that sometimes we need to grow in our faith, right? We need to get to the next level. We need to level up, if you know what I'm talking about, right? And when I say level up, of course, I think about playing video games, right? Does anybody here play video games? Anybody? Anybody? Come on back there. Be sure you raise your hand. You play video games. So you know about leveling up, right? You've got to level up, you know, to increase the strength of your character, whoever it is, so that you can fight all of the, you know, bosses and enemies and bad guys that you need to fight, right? Okay, so I'm going to go way back for some of you. Some of you are not going to understand. Just take it as a history lesson. But a long time ago, there was a video game that was called Paper Mario. And Paper Mario was this video game series that came out. There was Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. And I don't think anybody played it but me, because everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? But it was a great game. It was an RPG game. You had to figure things out. You had to level up. And sometimes you would get to this, like, enemy that you're fighting, you know, and you couldn't get past them because you didn't have enough levels, right? You were only at level 20, and you needed to be level 40 or whatever. So the way that I play video games, I always try to figure out all the things to level up as much as possible. Like, I'm that player that wants all of the extra things that I can get and just load up everything so that I can be ready to face whatever it is that I've got to face, right? And in this game, sometimes you have to go back and go to a different area, a different land, and you have to do something there. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Do some kind of thing, and then you got that. Then you can go back, and you can fight whatever it is you were fighting, and that's the way that you would level up. So I think about that sometimes that's like a metaphor for life. Sometimes we get to a point where something's difficult, and we're not sure, and we're facing some kind of opposition, and if we're going to face it the way that God wants us to face it, the way that Christ wants us to face it, we need to level up. We may just not be prepared yet. We may not be ready for that next level. And therefore, that enemy or that opposition may end up, you know, stopping us or defeating us because we don't have the maturity yet. We don't have the ability to go to that next level. And I believe that that's what this teaching in Jesus that was read for us by Chelsea is talking about. It's talking about a next level kind of love. It comes from a series of teaching that Jesus did that is called the Sermon on the Plain. In the book of Luke, it says Jesus stood on a level plain, on a plain, and he began to teach the people. It's similar to the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew, where it says Jesus went up on a hill. So there's some similarities in the things that he's teaching. And of course, we talked about last week how a theme of Jesus' teaching is to take things and turn them upside down. To take things and say, listen, we're going to make the last first, and we're going to make the first last. And in other words, there's a way that the world operates, a way that you're used to seeing people operate, and this is the way governments and political systems operate, and even organized religion sometimes operates this way. But I'm going to show you a different way to live. I'm going to show you a better way to live. I'm going to take you to the next level, and not only your understanding, but the way that you live, right? So this is about a next level kind of love. And why do we
need this, because sometimes we think we've got it all figured out, don't we? Sometimes we think, yeah, I've got this down. In fact, most people who follow Jesus Christ are like, yeah, I know this. I know what it means, you know? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, I got it. That's all the law and the prophets. Everything is about those two things working together. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. I've got it. I've got it. But then we come to a teaching like this, and I don't know about you, but I get kind of uncomfortable. This sounds hard. This sounds like a next level kind of love. And I was thinking this week that if it's true what the Bible says, that God is love, right? Does anybody agree with that? God is love. Then are we ever going to understand God fully? Are we ever going to ascend to the mountains of wisdom and understanding and application with God? Then why would we ever think that we're going to get love all figured out? Why would we ever think that love is not as high, as strong, as deep, as profound as what we sang and what we read about in the scripture? So I'm hoping that all of us, no matter where we are, that we would be willing to put ourselves in a position to go to the next level when it comes to love. And we may be at different levels, we may be at different spots on this staircase, but if we are working towards becoming like Christ, if we're working towards what God is talking about, we need to start taking the next step, right? So here's my premise this morning, and here's where you're going to help me, right? If you want to get to the next level, you got to take the next step, right? If you want to get to the next level, you got to take the next step. Now turn to somebody and tell them that right now. Say, if you want to get to the next level, you got to take the next step. You guys with me? So we're going to participate today. So during my message, when I say, if you want to get to the next level, you guys are going to say, whoa, well, you guys said like five different things. Is that okay? All right, let's try that again. Rewind. If you want to get to the next level, you got to take the next step. That was beautiful. That was really good. So when I say, if you want to get to the next level, all right, because that's how you get there. Okay, there are going to be things that in this talk that are difficult. There are going to be things that we're not yet ready for. That's okay. If we want to get to the next level, we just have to take the next step. And we just need to begin walking in that. That was good. I heard you guys. That was good. We need to begin walking and continually growing in our faith and in our understanding of God, right? Okay, so now I want to explain just a few things before we dive deeper into this text this morning, okay? And again, this is Luke chapter 6, verse 27. You can keep it open in your Bibles if you want. But I want to give you some explanations, some guidelines, some provisos, some things you need to keep in mind before we go on with this text, okay? Things we need to keep in mind as we try to understand this, all right? You with me? So we just got to keep these things in mind. Number one, this text is difficult, all right? Sometimes we just need to acknowledge it's difficult. It's hard to understand, especially sometimes when we're in a situation, right, where there's some opposition, there's some conflict. You know, in this time that we live in, when there's a lot of outrage, in a time where there's polarization and we're being driven further apart, this passage is difficult. Let's just acknowledge that, okay? Let's just give ourselves a bit of grace this morning and say that this is a hard passage to understand. It was a difficult teaching. Often, the people that heard Jesus said, Jesus, that's a difficult teaching. So we know that some of the things he said were difficult to understand, okay? So let's just set ourselves at ease a bit. But let's also not be afraid to enter into that this passage is difficult, all right? That's the first thing. The second thing we need to know is that this passage is sequential. In other words, this teaching in Luke chapter 6 from Jesus, it's not a bunch of random things thrown together. It's not kind of this potpourri or this smorgasbord of things that don't relate to each other, but it actually has an intentional sequence where one section builds upon the previous section, okay? So to understand this reading that Chelsea read for us this morning, we need to keep in mind the things we talked about last week, which were from the first part of the sermon, okay? Because this is going to build on that, and then next week is going to build on that, and next week is going to build on that, okay? So one, the passage is difficult. Two, to help us understand it, we need to realize that it's built on what Jesus just said, okay? The third thing we need to realize is that Jesus' teaching is creative. And what that means is Jesus was the most creative, most brilliant communicator that ever lived, right? Have you ever thought about that? A lot of times we don't think about Jesus as the smartest person who ever lived, right? But he was. He was brilliant. He was smart. He was intelligent. He was creative. And the most brilliant, creative communicator would use all kinds of ways to communicate, right? So he uses figures of speech. He uses hyperbole. Okay, I'm taking you to school for a minute. Sorry, young folks, just for a minute, we're going to go to school. Hyperbole is when you exaggerate something to make a point, right? So Jesus employs hyperbole where he exaggerates something in order to make his point. And how do you know when that's happening? Well, it's when you look at the teaching and you think, okay, if I literally did this, it would be a little bit absurd. And then you go to the book of Acts, where you see the apostles and followers of Jesus living out this teaching, and you say, well, how did they apply this teaching? What example can I see, you know, that relates to their life? So what, if I did this literally, would it be absurd? And then two, is there an example that can help me to understand this, okay? So you ready? I'm going to give you an example right now. Jesus says in this passage that if someone takes your coat, you should give him your shirt as well. Now, does that mean that we need to literally take off our shirts in front of each other? Would that be a little bit absurd? I mean, if someone came by and grabbed my coat, say, Brian grabbed my coat, I don't know if it was an accident or on purpose, and he takes my coat like he's doing, and he starts to leave, am I supposed to say, wait a minute, you forgot my shirt, and I'm going to rip off my shirt? Nobody in here wants to see me without my shirt on. I can guarantee that. I can say that with truth this morning. Nobody wants to see that. It would be a little absurd and probably get me into trouble if we did that this morning, okay? So we understand that Jesus is exaggerating for effect. So we go to the book of Acts. And how did the followers of Jesus live this out? Well, they brought their possessions together. And then they shared with people who were in need. And sometimes they would sell a piece of land and they'd bring the money and they'd give it to people that were in need. And like the text said, they didn't expect to get anything back. So that's a real life example of an application of the teaching Jesus is trying to do. But remember that Jesus is a very creative communicator. He's going to use metaphor, simile, parable, hyperbole, all kinds of things to get his point across. What's another thing you need to remember about this passage? That you need to remember that this passage is directed to an individual that has an ability to make a decision and act for themselves, okay? This is about individual agency and empowerment. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, he's not telling you to turn someone else's cheek. That's important, right? You're not supposed to use this passage to look at someone else and say, oh, you should be turning the cheek. Because I've always said that the Bible is much better when you use it as a mirror than it is when you use it as a magnifying glass. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But we need it for ourselves. And what's actually saying is that you make a decision and have an ability to decide how you're going to react, okay? So therefore, this passage is not applying to situations of abuse. It's not applying, especially if someone is powerless or a child or younger, it's not applying to that situation. It's not applying to, okay, does that make sense? It's not applying to something that's oppressive, you know, where someone else is making a choice for you. It's saying when you have the ability, you make the choice to turn the other cheek, or you make the choice to go ahead and give. You make the choice not to retaliate. You make the choice to not get back at someone. It's about you learning what it's like to be a child of God, taking the next step. We may not be there. We may not be there, but we take the next step. So here's the final thing I want to say. Jesus' teaching is not a new law. Some Christians have wanted to take this and say, well, Jesus did away with the law, which said, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and he gave us a new law, and now we have to follow this law. It's not a new law. One of the writers that really helped me with this is a man named Dallas Willard. He's a brilliant theologian. He has a book called The Divine Conspiracy. If you're ready to go deep, I suggest it. Not everybody here should read that, but if you want to go to the next level, that's a deep level. And he does a great job of explaining the teachings of Jesus, especially in cases like the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. And he says what Jesus was doing was not giving a new law, but talking about a new kind of person. So in other words, he's saying this should have affected your heart. You know, Jesus was fond of saying you want to clean the inside of the cup, not just the outside. If you get what I'm saying, right? You want to clean the inside of the cup. And rather than a new law, this teaching that we read describes a kind of new person. person, a kingdom kind of person, a person who has been transformed by the work of Jesus Christ, a person that no longer lives the way the world says you should live, but now lives according to a new standard, a new level, right? A new understanding with new power in the Holy Spirit. So remember, this is not a new law, but it's a new kind of person that's being described. This kind of wisdom, this kind of way of living life, it's deep. It doesn't come from us. It's not our natural reaction, but rather it shows us that it's something from God. It's something from on high. It's something that will take us to the next level, okay? So with those things in mind, let's look for a few minutes at what this text may be saying to us this morning and try to understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus is talking about. He says that we should love our enemies, right? Love our enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Man, loving our enemies is hard. I mean, this may be the most disobeyed command of Jesus that there is. I'm not saying it is. There's probably others, but this is a difficult one, right? And when I say enemies, so first of all, I want to look at that word enemies. And when I say enemies, I want to say enemies, okay? Because in reality, I think we have so-called enemies. Sometimes we create enemies, right? Sometimes we create a fact where, oh, that person is against me. That person has persecuted me. And you need to remember, well, why are they against you? Maybe I was a jerk. Maybe I deserve it. Maybe I did something that actually put me in that situation. I need to own that and be responsible for that. But when we say enemies, you need to understand, do you really have someone that's against you? Do you really have an enemy? Because here's the truth, friends. We are all, you and me, we were all enemies of God. I was an enemy of God. I was against God in my sin and when I lived according to the ways of the world. But what did God's love do to me? It transformed me from an enemy to a friend. Right? Anybody else have that happen? Anybody else been transformed from an enemy of God into a friend of God? And not just a friend, but into the family of God. I can, like the text said, be called a child of the Most High. Because I was once an enemy of God. So God is simply asking me to treat other people the way that he has treated me.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Simply asking me to treat other people, even enemies, the way that God himself had treated me. That's some powerful stuff, isn't it? That's some next level stuff. And when we want to love those who hate us, those who we don't like, it's difficult. That's a next level kind of love. But to get to the next level, you gotta. Yes. So you gotta. Amen. Amen. That's all right. You're gonna get other opportunities to do that. Don't. So I want to look at Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. And I just want to read this passage of what Paul, the writer, is saying right here. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Okay, it says, "Be careful. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you." See, that's the important thing. As far as it depends on you, as far as you're able, when you are not able to do this, when you are actually being oppressed and persecuted and your life is being threatened, if you're maybe in an abusive relationship, this is not what this is applying to. As far as it depends on you, when you are able to make that choice and that decision, it says, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Figuratively, not literally. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, if we're going to love our enemies, we have to believe that this is true. We have to believe that evil can be overcome by good, right? Evil can be overcome by good. Do you believe that good can overcome evil? If you believe that, then you can begin to love your enemies. And you don't have to get them back for everything that they do. All right? You don't have to work. You don't have to fret and worry and be in angst and anger over someone because you believe that good can overcome evil. And that's what I'm challenging us with this morning. Do we believe that doing good can overcome what is evil in loving our enemies? There's a great verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, always strive to do what is good for others and for everyone else. To do what is good. Always strive, if you are able, think about what is good for other people and what is good for everyone else. And that's what I should pursue. Instead of always be concerned about my rights and my opinions and my feelings, when I'm confident in Christ, right? I can truly be humble, because true humility is confidence, friends. It's not arrogance, it's not confidence. Arrogance is just a mask for a really unconfident person, for a really scared, very frightened person. That's what arrogance and pride is. But true humility comes from my confidence in God, that I'm confident in who I am in Jesus Christ. And when I'm confident in that, then that gives me the ability to, in humility, love other people, right? Even people that are different from us. And Christ is our example in this. Christ is the one who shows us the way. There was actually an interesting article in Relevant Magazine that I just saw this week that addresses this very topic that I'm preaching about. It's called, you know, How to Love Your Enemy in an Era of Outrage. How can we love our enemies in this era of outrage? And I think what the writer said just really capsulizes what I'm trying to talk about here. He said, think about Jesus. Jesus had every right to resist those who were arresting him and wanted to kill him. He had the moral high ground, superior military power. Jesus could have called thousands of angels. He did have superior power. He had the moral high ground and authority, and he had the emotional health to resist what was happening to him and not just, you know, blast everyone, you know, to wherever. But in the end, he willingly sacrificed himself. Jesus, listen to this article, Jesus was following the will of his Father despite all logic, reason, and rationale. Jesus obeyed. Likewise, the will of God should always be our first priority. And it's painfully clear that God's will for us is to love and forgive our enemies. It is the will of God to love and forgive our enemies. And we should have the confidence in Christ to be able to follow his example and to do that. I mean, this article acknowledges it. It sounds almost absurd, doesn't it? It sounds crazy to do that. You know, the practicing the discipline of loving our enemies can seem naive and counterintuitive in a society that idolizes shame, hateful rhetoric, and viral vitriol. Wow, that's a mouthful. We're idolizing all of this anger and shame and all of this stuff everywhere. And say, well, I have a right to do that. I have a right to do that. Jesus said, yes, you have rights. And you should always defend the rights of other people. Always. But when it comes to you, I want your heart to be changed. I want your heart to be transformed. I want you to learn to forgive and love. But we say, but I can't. I can't love that person. You don't understand. I can't do it. Well, the Bible says that we need to repent. Do you know what repent means? It means to change your mind so that you can change your actions. It means to change your mind so you can change your direction. And if we want to follow the will of God, this is next level stuff, I understand. We need to repent of that attitude that I can't love that person, because God says you can. We can say, well, that person, you don't know what they've done to me. And Jesus says, I know what they've done to you. Well, I'm not going to love that person. We need to repent. Repent, because every person that we face is just like us. They're an enemy of God, but a potential friend and child of God. See, our true enemy is Satan. Our true enemy is demonic. Our true enemy is sin and death. And what did Jesus do on the cross? Did he not defeat Satan? Did he not defeat sin? Did he not defeat death? Are our enemies defeated at the cross? Are they? Are they defeated? Are they defeated? That we can walk in confidence and in victory. That any person we meet, it's not truly an enemy. But what does it say that we should do? We should pray for them and we should bless them, right? So that's the test this morning, is to pray for them and to bless them. And that's the first thing I want to ask us this morning, is that when it comes to people that don't like you, when it comes to people that you don't like, have you prayed for them and have you blessed them? That's the test right there, right? Someone will come and say, oh, Pastor, I love people. I don't hold nothing against anybody. I love everybody, right? You do? Think about someone that you love, right? You love. Have you prayed for them? Have you blessed them? Think about the person that you most dislike right now, okay? Just think about the person. Don't say it out loud, because they might be here. Just think about the person that you don't like right now, that you're having a hard time with, and you want to tell me as a Christian you love them? Have you prayed for them? I don't mean that kind of prayer. Have you really prayed for them? And have you prayed for God to bless them? Because that's what Jesus says. Pray for them. Bless them. What have you done to bless that person that you're having a problem with? This is next level. I understand. We're not going to get up to the top of the mountain in a day, right? But to get to the next level, we have to take the next step. To get to the next level, we have to
take the next step.
And the next step might be just praying for them today. It might be saying, God, is there a way that I can bless that person today? Let's journey on. Jesus says that if someone strikes you on the cheek, you should turn the other cheek, right? Man, that's a difficult one. But it goes against our natural inclination to always want to get people back, to always want to make sure that it's fair. Well, this is what I should do. This makes it right if I get somebody back, right? And that's a difficult thing to do. Again, keep the things in place that I said of what this is not applying to. But this is an opportunity for someone when they are insulted. And this is where it builds on what Jesus said. Remember, he said, blessed are you when you're insulted, hated, rejected, and excluded. Okay, he's saying you're blessed when that happens to you, when you're hated, rejected, insulted, excluded, for the sake of the Son of Man, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I always like to say, let's get slapped for the right reasons, all right? If someone slaps you because, again, you were a jerk, say you come up and you do something and you say something inappropriate to a woman and she slaps you on the face, maybe you deserve that, okay? But let's get slapped for the right reason. When we're getting slapped simply because we follow Jesus Christ, okay? And again, this is an image. This is a metaphor. I mean, yes, people sometimes were slapped in that society for different reasons. But it's not talking about killing someone. It's not talking about the violence that leads to death or extreme physical injury. It's talking about, I believe, because it's building on Jesus' teaching, when we're rejected, insulted, hated, excluded, even truly persecuted, right? For the sake of Jesus Christ, he's saying, if you are able, your next step would be to not get back. So you know what? It's okay. Now, there's a limit to it. You've only got two cheeks. Doesn't mean you have to stand there continually getting slapped. It's just about an attitude of your heart. You're the kind of person that doesn't have to get back. In fact, when I was in junior high school, I went to a Christian school, and my basketball coach was also our Bible teacher, and he was teaching on this one day. I'll always remember this. He said, sometimes turn the other cheek means to turn your other cheek and walk away. And I was like, okay, I remember that. I'm like, yeah, sometimes, you know, what I can do is not get back at the person. I can turn this, I got another cheek, and I can walk away from the situation, you know. That's legitimate. This is not saying that you stay in an abusive relationship. And how dare we take this passage and point to someone else and say, well, you're not turning the other cheek. No. What we do is we say, God, in my heart, when someone comes against me, am I able? And we're not always able. But am I able to not get back, to turn the other cheek, to maybe walk away, to not have to retaliate in this situation, right? And it comes with maturity, right? Right? We were talking about this. When we were kids, sometimes it was hard to let things go. But when we got older, we developed a maturity where we were able to let things go. This is about going to the next level in our Christian faith. It's about turning the other cheek means that I'm able to do this. In fact, it actually rises you up to the level. You know, there's some people that say, you know, but this passage, if it was a Roman soldier that was slapping a Jewish person, to make them slap you twice means that they hadn't recognized you were a person, you know, that you had value. So sometimes by resisting, we can raise up, you know, and actually we're not supposed to just raise up to the level. We're supposed to rise above, right? Amen? We're supposed to be better than other people are. And even though this is hard and difficult, this is the kind of thing that will make us better. Christians who follow Jesus Christ have a long history of nonviolent protest and peaceful resistance. They are working hard to stand up for the rights of others, but yet for themselves, they develop a heart that doesn't need to always get back, to always retaliate, but a heart that even the worst enemy that you could imagine, and there are some pretty nasty people in this world, I can still, through the strength of God, love them. I pray for them. And pray God bless them. Because what would happen if that horrible, mean, nasty person really experienced the love of God in their life? Wouldn't it be better for a lot of us if that happened? But maybe we don't have the faith yet. Maybe that's the next level. We just need to take the next step. And the next step might be for us to pray for them. Pray for God and pray that God will bless them. Jesus also says, give to everyone who asks you, and if they take what belongs to you, don't demand it back. I believe this builds upon what Jesus said earlier when he, remember, he said, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are well fed. Don't put your trust in the treasures and in the wealth, but this is about giving away the things we have so that they don't own us, right? We say that we own things, but when we think we own things, they end up owning us, right? But rather, there's a shift of a mindset that needs to happen here. There's a great line in by a band called U2 in a song called Yahweh that says, what no man can own, no man can take. Well, I take that to mean if I don't own it, you can't take it from me, right? Because I don't own it. And everything that I have is a gift from God. That's the mindset that I'm trying to develop in my whole life. That God has given me these things as a blessing, okay? And if he's given it to me as a blessing, my house even, my car, my possessions, then I can give it away because it doesn't really belong to me. I don't really own it. Because the minute I try to start owning things, those things begin to own me. That's the truth of what happens. That's the deception of the enemy. That's the deception of the world. That the things we try to own, the more we try to collect, the more they end up owning us, right? The more they end up owning us. And Jesus says, listen, you need to understand that if you have something to give, give. This is not for everybody. Obviously, though, there are those who are extremely poor who don't have it to give. Jesus is not saying this to those people. He's saying it, woe to you who are rich and well-fed. Those of you who have something to give, you need to give it away because, again, you're going to save your life by doing that. You know, when you have something to give, be willing to give it. That's what I try to live out in my own life. Sometimes I have something to give, and sometimes I don't. Some of you know that. Sometimes you ask me for something, I'm like, I don't have it. I just don't have it to give. I can't give it to you. Other times I do. And I do have it to give. You know, and I want to be the kind of person, this is not a law, but it describes a kind of person that, again, doesn't have to always say, well, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. You better pay me back for that. But the kind of person rather that says, you know what, if you need something, I can give it to you. If you take something, I can let it go. In fact, I can try to give you even more. I can try to go to the next step, right? I can just try to take the next step to get to the next level. Because if we want to get to the next level, we have to, right? And the next step here might be, doesn't matter how they react. You know, some of our excuses of why we can't be more giving, sometimes they go like this, well, I'm not going to give to that person because they're not grateful. They didn't say thank you. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to appreciate it. You know, I need to make sure that they're grateful before I give anything to them. But Jesus said, let me find it again, the Most High God is kind to the ungrateful. Wow. Wow. Or we could say, they don't deserve it. You know, we're not going to give this person or this people help because they don't deserve it. You know, they're not worthy of it. They've done something wrong. Therefore, I'm not going to give them anything. But Jesus said, the Most High God is kind to the wicked. The Most High God is kind to the ungrateful, and he's kind to the wicked. That's next level stuff. That requires a bit more maturity and understanding to get to that level. That's not for everyone yet, but if we want to walk this journey, we just take the next step. We take the next step, right? We're going to get uncomfortable with this. It's like, we're going to be like, but wait a minute, that's okay. Be uncomfortable with it. You know, but this is the direction that we're heading. This is where God wants us to go, to be these kind of people. It's kind of summed up like this. Jesus is saying, I want you to love everyone, especially those that are hard to love. I want you to do good. I want you to give away. He says, lend. The whole last part of this says, listen to enemies. He says, love. Don't just love those who love you. Don't just be good to those that like you. Don't just lend to those from whom you expect your payment. But love your enemies, do good to your enemies, lend to your enemies. That's how it's all summed up this morning. Love people, do good, give to those who have a need. And if you want to go to the next level, don't just do that for people that you like. Or don't just do it for people that like you. But rather, do it for even people that might hate you or exclude you or insult you or reject you. Right? Do it to people even maybe that are ungrateful, that maybe don't deserve it. Try to go to the next level in your love because you're not just supposed to be like the people of the world. You're supposed to be better. He's saying even people that don't know God can do that. even people that aren't Christians, that aren't followers of Christ, they can help those that they like. They can help those that are they're going to get something back from. You know, don't just be at that level, friends. How many of you this morning have settled for a level that is not where God wants you to be? You're sitting down on the staircase thinking, man, I've made it. And you're looking down at the people below you. This morning, turn around and look up and say, wow, that's where Jesus is and I've got a ways to go. That's exactly where I am. I'm down. I'm down on the third or fourth step. I'm looking up saying, God, help me. What's the next step to get to the next level where I can love people, where I can do good to people, where I can give and lend to those who are in need? Jesus said in this teaching in Matthew, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I can't be perfect. That's impossible. But with God's help, I can move towards it, right? With God's help, I can move towards it. And I just take the next step. I just take the next step. Okay, God, you want me to be perfect like you are. You want me to be like you. You want me to be this kind of person. Well, I'm going to get to the next level, I need to take the next step. So that's simply my question for you this morning is, what is your next step? What is your next step? What is God calling you to do this morning? That you might take the next step towards living into this reality. To becoming better than the world. To following the will of God. By repenting of the way I think and the way I act. And beginning to actually change. And become this kind of person. That's so full of love. So confident in God. Such faith. That I can even stand up. And I'd even be willing to suffer. And be slapped. And be rejected. And be insulted. And be left behind. And even willing to give up what I have. So that the power of God might transform people from being enemies into being family. From being far away from God into being the family of God. What is your next step? That's what we're going to pray about this morning. What is the next step for you and for me to take so that we might understand what this kind of love is really all about? So that we can love people that are hard to love. So that we can do what's good, right? Do what's good. That's different than doing what is right. You might have thought that was the same. Because sometimes if you do what's right, you assume that it's going to be good. But just wanting to follow the law says what is right to do. If someone slaps me, I slap them back. That's right, according to some things. But God takes us beyond what is right and he says, let's do what is good. Let's do what is good because good is something that's bigger. Good is something that thinks about everyone. Good is like, what is the best thing I can do that brings about good for others? Not just caught up in what is the right thing to do. Because the right thing to do gets us to meet the requirement, okay, which is all right. But what is good takes us beyond the requirement and takes us to the next level and says, let's not just meet the requirements of Christianity. Is anybody ready for that this morning? I'm just praying that we would be a powerful community, a powerful church in the city, if we had a group of people that didn't just want to meet the minimum requirements of being a Christian. Amen. But wanted to go above and beyond. Is there anybody ready to go above and beyond this morning? Anybody ready to say, yeah, I want to go to the next level? God, help me to take the next step. Let's pray. I invite you to join me in prayer. Because this work can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can only be done. And I invite you in this prayer right now. To just pray in your own words along with me. Say, God, help me to be this kind of person. God, help me to love my enemies. Help me to not get back at other people. Help me to be generous with what you've given to me. Just ask God to change your heart because it's about your heart this morning. This is not a new legalism. It's not a new law. It's not new requirements. Each situation is going to be different and will probably require you to do something different in each situation. But God, would you change my heart this morning that I might become this kind of person? Hallelujah. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that your power be released to change our hearts. To change our hearts today, Lord God. Change our hearts in Jesus' name.